Good evening and welcome to the season opening edition of Penalty Spot. I am Curtis Hines. Lots to talk about this evening as the BFA's Premier League season kicks off. We've had two nights of action already. We have lots of exciting discussion coming forward. On the international scene, Liverpool continue their march towards the English Premier League title. Spurs beat Man City over the weekend. And of course, lots to discuss there as well as we look back at the past 7 days in local and international football. As per usual, we've taken your calls 4341790, and you can also send your emails in atimsports246@gmail.com. This is the Penalty Spot in association with the BFA. Our special guest this evening so far, we have Ronaldo Pee-wee Jilts, the new coach of Weymouth Wales, and also Rashad Jules of the BDF Sports Programme. And I guess we can start there in terms of the Premier League action. Good evening to you, gentlemen. Thanks for being a part of the programme. And both teams were in action for you guys over the weekend, the opening week of the Premier League season. Let's first look back at the games on Saturday, Silver Sands versus Deacons. As the Silver Sands emerged, Deacons emerged victorious in that one. The second game on Saturday, Notre Dame upset Empire in that encounter. And the opening game on Saturday at 5, it was Britain Seal United getting past Wotton Wotton, one of the newly promoted teams, in the Premiership. Goals for Britain Seal's Anton Ellis and Dante Greenwich, Marco St. Hill found the back of the nets for the Wotton Football Club. Having been promoted, we look forward to see lots from them. The biggest result over the weekend came on Sunday at 4. Paradise FC, who are always there or thereabouts among the top four, got past St. Andrew Lions by a 4-1 margin. At 6, in a game of, as Paul keeps describing it, a game of two halves, it was BDS Sports Programme and Everton played out a 3-3 draw with all 6 goals, believe it or not, coming in the opening 45 minutes. BDF took the lead through Akeem Hill in the 15th. Omani Leacock doubled the lead in the 26th before Shaquan Clark got a goal in the 32nd, scored another one in the 37th. Tashane Lord had made it 3-1 to BDS Sports Programme at the 35th. And then Everton captain Shaquille Bell in the 45th led them back to the halftime break at 3-3. We didn't have any more goals in that encounter, and those two teams will share the point. And in the nightcap game, Weymouth Wales, a new-look Weymouth Wales team with several new faces, got past the UWI Blackbirds 1-0. Some drama late in the game as Blackbirds got a penalty in the 88th minute and failed to trouble the keeper as Wales came away with a win in their opening game. Once again, good evening to you, gentlemen. We're taking your calls 4341790 all night long. Let's begin with you, Rashad. As I said, welcome to the program. Defending Premier League champions, a big game up first, BDF versus Everton. These two teams have played so many games against each other at 2-0 up after 37 minutes. 26 minutes, I should say. It was looking like it was going to be a pretty straightforward night for BDF in the end. 3-3. 3 goals each at halftime. How do you reflect on that encounter?
I think we did pretty well in the first half. I mean, to get the goals and stuff. I mean, I think we were short on the top. However, we fell short on defense, and it clearly showed. We ended up slipping up in the lead and giving up the 3 points we should have had.
What do you attribute it to? Rust, lack of playing, not been in action since late November, early December, or it was just on the night it slipped on the night?
Some things are basic, but I think that we as a unit need more time together because we have 8 national players and most of us are more focused on the national duty than realistically playing together as a team. So I think we need more time together as a team to, in order to gel and, you know what I mean, to be one unit playing in the Premiership.
On the plus side, we were speaking about it before the program began. For me, this is the first time in about 3 or 4 seasons that BDS Sports Program has started the season with so many of the frontline players being there and on the pitch, from your keeper straight forward to your strikers. On paper, everyone was there last night who would have been a part of the title-winning run last season.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It was good to have everyone out. You mentioned national team duty. We'll speak a bit more about that later. But national team, of course, in practice ahead of the... It is the, what is it again?
Champions League.
Nations League. Yeah, versus Guyana over 2 legs. How's that coming along?
The guys are doing pretty good. Training, stepping up. As we get closer, we would introduce more days. Mm. But other than that, as far as right now, it's going pretty good.
in 2020, things are a bit different. For the last two seasons, the previous two seasons, you were hunting Weymouth Wills. You're now the hunted. Everyone wants to get back to BDS Sports Program, winning the Premier League title this season. Any additional pressure being the team to beat this time around?
No, I won't say so. Actually, I honestly believe the team to beat are teams like Paradise and actually Wills.
Okay.
And BDF is just an ongoing, feed, you know, your top team just going at it. But when you look at the setup for Wills, when you look at the coach for Wills, when you look at the players that Wills got now, I mean, Wills on paper realistically is the team to beat.
Good time to speak to the new Wills coach, Ronaldo PB Jilts. No pressure.
Put me on the spot.
Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rashad, and all the others listening.
Before we go any further, I had a conversation with an Ireland football fan, and he was of the opinion that you are in the impossible position. If you win the league, it could be said that Wills were winning before you got there.
Yep.
If you happen not to win, it could be said, well, what did he do wrong? Mm. How do you assess this challenge which Wills presents?
Well, I guess for the average football fan, the real gauge will be winning. However, I'd say my impact or my influence has one as to make Wales better in the sense of playing better and educate the players so that we can see a different brand, a more constructive brand of football. In reality, Wales have been winning. Last year, only the first time that they've been dethroned. However, after being up, there's only one way to go, which is down. So I do see it as an opportunity to face such a challenge. But I think my role within the construct of the team or the construct of the institution of Wills, it goes beyond the team, is basically to create a philosophy for the club, to create more intelligent BS players, and basically to match BDF in the sense of producing more players that would be of national team quality. Because even though Wills have been winning, realistically, if you watch it, there are not a lot of Wills players within national setup. You know, so basically how I see my role is really to create more players that would be suited for the international game, for the international brand, and to support what the national team is doing.
When we looked at the squad there last night, a number of the seasoned Wills players were not there on the field, a number of them not listed on the team sheets. The players who are not on the sheets are there last night. Have they left the club, or are there still some of the...
No, there's still some players. I think only two players have really, or two consistent players that would have been on the roster have left, which are Revere Williams, who's not at Deacons, and Arahis Lawrence, who's at the Lions. For me, when I came in the squad, I made it clear that everyone starts at zero.
Okay.
So it's the opportunity for them to, you know, make themselves counted and try to get into the squad. My philosophy is simple. It's a three-pronged philosophy, whereas it's based on game intelligence, work ethic, and the right attitude. You must get 3 out of 3, no 1 out of 3 or 2 out of 3 in order to make the squad. So with you starting at zero, you have an idea to identify what I need to do to get in the team. So with the roster being selected, those were the players who checked those boxes I mentioned just now.
So the likes of Omari Eastman and Kemar Headley still...
Yeah, Kemar Headley still registers. Omari Eastman now has a different role within the club. As you saw, we have Liam Braffitt over, yeah. And we still have young Jerome Blackman. They're both under 23 years old. Omari, best friend of mine since primary school. I have asked him to stay on as a goalkeeping coach. I think that's an area that's neglected a lot within the club system. A goalkeeper is a specialist position, and they need that special attention. It's very difficult for one coach, a head coach, to man all the outfield players and then pay that relevant attention to the goalkeeper. So I'm very grateful that Omari agreed to stay on as a goalkeeper coach. And to be honest, I think from me being in so far and what I've recognized, Wales' success has been down to a very good support team. There's always someone there to fulfill the responsibilities in the administrative department and in the technical department. So even though people would have seen the success on the field, a lot happens off the field which allow the players to basically do what they're supposed to do, which is play.
You are well known as a coach who likes to promote youth. You like young players, developing players. Wales now, despite the departure of a few senior players, you still have lots of experience in there. Mm. Any challenges you foresee meshing the need to bring on new players while at the same time not jettisoning all of the older players, the more experienced players who would have led Wales to dominance over the past 5 or so years?
Initially, I thought they would have been a kickback. But funny enough, they've been very embracing of the young players. I have four players who are in the U20 squad. I wouldn't name them just as yet, but I didn't name them on the roster last night because our national U20 team, they're about to go on qualifiers in another couple of days. I think probably 14 days or so. So I want to give them every opportunity to be at their best when they're called upon for national duty. However, when they return, believe once they're in full fitness, they will feature within the squad. I think from what I've seen so far, the younger players, obviously they would have worked with me. I had an opportunity to have the football education component of things. And the older players, believe it or not, are allowing them to express themselves and share such information, which is always good to have. I'm sure Rashad could attest to that because he himself, he is a proprietor of having youth within the setup. So the older players are embracing them and allowing them to share what knowledge they have without any kind of bias or subjectivity or fear. So it's been working out so far, so good.
The average age of the Premiership seems to be coming down every year, which is a good thing. We have very, very young players like an Akeem Hill from BDF, mm-hmm. who seems to have been playing football forever. Still a very, very young man.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think this is to the benefit of Barbadian football.
When I look at the Premier League, like even in our game, you had 16-year-old Tadjo James playing for UWA.
Yeah.
You had 16-year-old Devontae Richards playing for UWA. Now, Reed Stevens was the veteran in the squad, and he's now 18.
18 now, yeah.
Yeah? And, since I've mentioned his name, I know he had that crucial spot kick last night. I actually sent him a note via social media, you know, telling him don't let that define him as a player. I still think he's a fantastic player who has the future of Barbados to carry. I then went and watched him. I made it my business to go and watch him today for St. Leonard's. They played against Alexandra, 1-2-0, and guess who scored both goals?
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's testament to the willpower and the mentality of players such as Nell. Again, as I said, I told him not to let that moment define him because I think he's a fantastic player. You know, and I believe he's in the right hands working with Fabian Masaya, who would have had him from first form up to now. So, as you rightfully said, the age keeps coming down and down. I don't think Rashad is there yet, and he's seen as one of the veterans in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, and in your squad as well, in the BDS Sports, where you got players like Omani Lee Cock.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Playing forever as well.
Yeah. So, I actually look forward to it. Well, you know, I still do write, and I wrote a piece in Loop yesterday, and I said one of the things, I had 10 things to look forward to in the Premier League this season, and one of the things was the featuring of these new stars. We will have a lot of players under the age of 19 causing a stir in the Premier League.
Yeah, as you rightfully said, Neil Stevens, still a very, very young player, still at school.
Yeah.
And bigger players have missed penalties. I think it was a tough game for him as well. Yeah. I have to have a word with the coach to have a firm reason. Mm. He's playing a far deeper than we've seen before. I'm going to have a word with Coach Masaya at some point so we can have a clarification because people keep asking me as well, how come he's playing in a midfield role? Sometimes he's holding midfielder, but I'm sure there's a plan there. Mm. He's also a member of he's playing national football as well.
He's in the squad as well.
So I am sure there have been discussions.
Yeah. Well, my two cents from a coaching perspective is when you look at the personnel on the pitch, maybe that is one of the areas that the coach saw his attributes most needed. And to be honest, in that deeper midfield role, you're offered a little bit more room than usual. And a player of his ability, with his quality of passing and dribbling ability, if you give him room, he will hurt you. So I could probably say that. But when you do have that interview, please make it live so we can get an idea of what's going on tactically at UE.
he may or may not be one of our guests next week as we continue Penalty Spot. Once again, 4341-780-18sports246@gmail.com. Just some housekeeping. I believe the midweek games have been postponed. I know we will have games on Saturday and Sunday for sure, but I'm not sure if we have the previously scheduled games or the games that were scheduled for midweek being bumped. So guys from the BFA, if you can give me a call, send me a message. But definitely football resuming this Saturday, games at 5, 7, and 9. And on Sunday, games at 4, 6, and 8. We're live from 7 on Hot 95.3 FM on Saturday. And on Sunday, from 6 also on Hot FM. But Rashad, we look forward to the 2020 season. You identified Wales. Anyone else, we just look at them on paper at the start of the season, based on who they have acquired, based on who they have lost, that you see as a potential title challenger, this team that, okay, we as champions need to be careful because these guys are coming?
Of course. I haven't really gone through the teams as yet to see who they've acquired or whatever, but rumor has it Paradise has four Trinidadians.
Right. So one scored a double.
There you go. Automatically, that's a team you go look out for. Yeah. Yeah. Trinidadians are usually good players.
Yeah.
Wales, when you look at Wales, how much national players Wales got, I mean, for years.
Mm-hmm.
So Paradise, Wales, Ellerton, they just win Capelli.
Yeah.
Just go on the finals in Capelli, sorry. So those are teams that you definitely got to keep your eye out for.
Yeah. Empire seems to have acquired some more international players as well.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that they may have lost Oba Tucker, not really sure as yet. And as you said, the goalkeeping position is key because when we look back at the last teams who've won anything in local football, they've all had outstanding goalkeepers.
Yeah, correct.
BDF, Bills, Paradise,
Ellerton
did well. Have all had outstanding goalkeepers, and to lose Tucker for Empire, that will be a tough role to fill.
Yeah, most definitely. And just to add into what Rashad is saying, some of these, well, you have Deacons who just came up, and even though it would have seemed of a clash of the promoted, I think they play some pretty constructive football. And then when you have players such as Revere Williams and Omar Archer who have that experience, you know, they're bound to cause a bit of a stir. And one of the things that I think will make this Premier League most interesting is the fact that four teams are being demoted. So there's no room for error.
Yeah, you need to play.
Yeah, you have to play. And I think that's going to encourage that level of competitiveness throughout the season. When you look at Paradise, I didn't see them play, but I know of the two players in particular. I did my research once I saw the information on them. The guy that scored two goals, Shaquille, he's a player. He played pro at Central FC. So when you have him along with the likes of Mario Hart,
Jabari Papi Chandler,
Armando Lashley,
who was the most goal scorer last season,
Aki Lapuit, Elijah Downey.
Well, they've lost Mario Williams, but yeah, that's still very good.
I mean, you could bring players like Romel Burgess off the bench. Well, like, they could feel probably close to two teams. I still think that BDF, even though their roster is short, they still have one of the more formidable teams based on their discipline and experience with players like Rashad, Raheem, Akeem, Omani. You know, they can still quite, and not just the experience, but their versatility at any given time. I mean, the only thing that I don't think I've seen a player like Raheem do is probably goalkeep.
I was about to mention that. You saw his class last night. We created two goals. I think he was involved in another one.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came onto the right side in particular, he gave Ellerton a headache. You saw all of his experience. And as you rightly said, the only position I've not seen him play on the field was perhaps a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He's played as a sweeper, a winger, scores goals, good with the dead ball. And that's the sort of player we want in the Premiership.
Yeah, and Ellerton, they just ran the Capelli final. I'm actually a secret admirer of Ellerton based on their fearlessness, their youth, their creativity, their joy to watch.
They play attractive.
Yeah, they're very attractive. They just play as though they're having fun.
Yeah.
Fearless.
Yeah.
And I think one of the strengths of Ellerton is that almost all of those players would have played together in the now-defunct Capelli, the now-defunct David Thompson competition. St. George South.
Yeah.
Where they won it twice, back-to-back. Both penalty shootouts, if I'm not mistaken. And did very, very well. And they've grown up playing football together. Yeah. Still a very, very young team. Shaquille Bell, for me, is the fastest striker in Barbados. When he gets that ball and the head goes down, he gives you a nightmare. He had a good tussle last night with Shane Condrington.
Yeah.
I believe those two would have played national football together. Yeah. And that, for me,
and they are neighbors too.
Was one of the battles of the night.
Yeah.
Firm but fair.
Yeah.
And for me, that was one of the battles for the night. And you can see when he got the goal, Condrington was not on him for that goal. And it was good to see early season, and both guys really, really committed.
I'm sorry, I missed all six goals. There was no coming in, and I think Ellerton had equalized, but from all reports, it was one of those ones definitely not to miss. Almost English Premiership like.
Yeah, it was end to end stuff. I was really looking forward to a second half. Okay, at least four more goals. But it got really technical. Rashad, you were on the field. What was said? Was it a case of we went to halftime and it's like, okay, guys, we need to tighten up on the back, shut them down, and hope to conquer? What was the case?
As we spoke earlier, I was telling you that we changed up things a bit.
Okay.
So one of the veterans, Raheem, He was like, if we can't get it right on defense, then all of us are going to drop back and then all of us can go for it. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much one of the decisions that we had to make in order to seal the back.
Okay.
Because getting the goals weren't a problem.
Yeah. It's stopping them.
It's stopping them.
Yeah.
So that was one of the decisions that the veteran Raheem Sargent made.
Yeah. So. Good night to Corey Beanie Man Barrow, as usual. Ellerton, I often say that they might give you one, but they don't fear that because they'll get back one or two very, very quickly. And what I like about them as well, it's not a team where you can say just shut down Shaquille Bell. They have attacking wingers in abundance, midfielders, defenders that will run at you. They have a very solid Damian Walker, central defender who reads the game very, very well. He's surprisingly quick as well for a man of his size. And I think, while yes, we would have wanted more goals in the end, that was perhaps the goal of the game of the night, very, very entertaining. When we look at the teams that we're promoting now, I didn't see Watton as yet. I saw them in the Division 1 campaign last year, saw them in the Capelli. Deacons, however, Deacons look like if they stay together and train, they could be a formidable team in the future.
Yeah, most definitely. From what I would have seen, they seem like a group that is here to stay. As I mentioned before, having experience such as Revere Williams and Omar Archer, that definitely helps. But then there was a key player, and I think Rashad may know him from when he was at Kickstarter as well, Nathaniel Maynard, used to call him Natty. All right, he's one of the younger ones than you, but he played abroad in college. And I was so shocked when I saw him going on to the pitch, because since he returned, he hasn't been playing. However, he showed his true value when he went on within his cameo of 10 minutes. Yeah? Within his cameo of 10 minutes, he was outstanding. Then there's Jason Carter. I think is he playing? Rashad, he's...
I saw him at football yesterday. I saw him and his brother, but you know what, I told him from the farm too, so
yeah.
It won't be a surprise that they just pop back in.
Yeah, I saw it right, because his younger brother, Barry Ricardo Carter, yeah, he scored the first goal and he's captain. That's actually a very youthful team too, because Barry probably is now like probably 32 or so. And being the older player on the field, then you have players like Akeem Brooms, Keon Atkins, and Kadeem Atkins, aka Buju. So they are definitely, because when I look back at Division 1 last year, Chris, they actually walked away with it, you know.
Yeah.
At one point in time, Watson were like dismissing everyone, then they came up against Deacons. They lost to Deacons, then they went through a spell. But Deacons, I mean, if my memory serves me correctly, I don't think they lost no more than 2 games.
I remember speaking to the coach, and he was adamant he doesn't just want players. He wants players that will play his football, his philosophy of football that will fit into the team he's trying to build. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want a team of stars.
Yeah.
He wants guys that will come and play the role that he wants them to play. And that was in Division 1.
Yeah.
He says, well, he knew he had to recruit some players for the Premiership. And it seems to have gone pretty well. Because, it's only one game.
Yeah. Yes.
And as you said, playing against a fellow promoted side. But they look pretty cohesive.
And I think what helped support them too was their spectatorship. They did bring a pretty large crew from inside the farm, as they're predominantly known. They were vocal throughout the game. You know, it was like they had a 12th man. Like what they say at Boca Juniors, they had a 12th man. So I think being playing with that community pride, because when you realistically look at it, they're probably the lone real community-based team in the league. And hear me out when they say this. I mean, based on the fact that the majority of players are from that community.
Yeah. Aside from Ellerton.
Aside from Ellerton. Right? So I think that played a big part. I just want to say quickly that when you look at the crowd over the last 2 weeks, because Saturday still had a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
And last night was even bigger. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with this new generation of players who are coming in. This younger generation, you know, they're going to be bringing their friends. They're always on social media. Like, I look forward to this season. This season is going to be big on and off the pitch.
Of course, the BFA has joined hands with Hot FM as per usual, and some a few of the DJs. I'm not sure if you went to the Mordecai, were you there?
No, I was actually at Kickstart Club. We had a full day of youth football.
Yeah, Rashad was there. The Mordecai was something serious.
Yeah, I saw the snaps. I look quite excited, especially True Bridgestone.
Yeah, the Mordecai was something serious, yeah. We need to do that like every season. To see people coming out, visitors clamoring for the shirts and whatnot, and people getting to know the players.
Yeah,
one young lady told me about she would hear about the national team, and she didn't realize that a guy that lives near to her was on the national team. She would see him as they move about But she did not know that this was the same guy who played international football for Barbados.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. I mean, for any other place in the world, that's a big deal. Yeah. Like, to have a player from your community who's representing the country, that's a big deal. And as I thought, when you said just now we need to do it each season, I mean, I support the FA and all your social endeavors that I believe we should do more events that connect to the community. Okay. So we had the Motorcade. Let's brainstorm and figure out what can we do next. You know, let's see what we could do maybe in the north of the island and let those people be informed and gain some memorabilia from the FA. We need all the people we can get, you know?
I still maintain the clubs need to come together so I can buy 12 shirts. Mm-hmm. If I could have the opportunity, I would buy a shirt from every team in the Premiership. For me, it still makes little to no sense that they can buy a Juventus shirt, a Man U shirt, but I won't buy a Man U shirt, a Chelsea shirt. And I cannot buy a club shirt unless I have a friend in the club and I happen to get one. I think that would help, because if we can come out in our shirts and support our club, think about when St. Andrew Lions come. They take up a third of that stand down there. You don't have to ask. You know that it's St. Andrew Lions. BDF, when they come, you know where they sit.
Yeah.
In the other corner. Wales. You see them coming in. Britain's Hill. They come in, the game is over, they leave. Because they come to support Britain's Hill, and that is it. And we need more of that. We need fans coming out. Of course, football's back on this Saturday and Sunday. Come on down to the turf. Just walk with your keys and your money. Good security, seating, good parking. I know I always say if you get up to nonsense up there, we always have the Royal Barbados Police Force on hand. You'll have a very, very bad Monday morning if you decide to go up there and do folly. We've not had any incidences off the field at the turf. We want to keep it that way and shed this image that football is associated with certain things. That is incorrect. We want everyone to come on out and have some fun in terms of football. Well, Rashadi mentioned the upcoming qualifiers, the playoff, sorry, versus Guyana. You're a longstanding member now of the national team. What's it like now under Russell Latifi in conjunction with our longstanding TD? He's been in the job now going 2.5 years, the TD. I mean, it must be challenging but yet rewarding to be able to soak in all that knowledge.
It's an amazing feeling to be coached by Latifi, to be quite honest. Yeah. Very, very intelligent person. On the other hand, he's no nonsense.
Yeah.
No nonsense. He requires A, and you give him A, and if you give him B, that's it for you. So he requires A. You got to work hard, stay committed, both on and off the field.
Yeah.
His philosophy is easy, and he feeds you like a teacher. He gives you peace and gives you peace, and then he adds on, and then you keep just moving forward and moving forward. You slacken up, then you go out, someone else comes in and replaces you. So there's always pressure for your players. If it's 18 players that need to be selected, you got to come and work for your players. There's no, okay, because Jules is captain, Jules automatically a part of the squad. Yeah. No. As you've seen, I've came off the bench already.
Yeah.
And because I was not up to par, and that's a fact. So, you know, nonsense. And it's also a lot of fun. He encourages us to enjoy football, enjoy keeping the ball, as you could see last home game.
Yeah.
How the fans got so much into the football. That was an amazing feeling.
Yeah, that was a great game.
That's when the Crow scored the third goal, it was?
Yeah, that was amazing. And
for me, the only crowd feeling that was better than that was BDF versus, who was it? BDF versus Rendezvous. A couple seasons ago, when the turf was sold out.
Yeah, that was a good feeling too. But national is different.
Yeah, that's different. Scored a goal for Barbados. I can't imagine what that feels like. That must be
amazing.
Something really, really special. And the crowd was really up for it that
night. Yeah. And it was a first for me too, because probably the only other place I've experienced that is, let's say, El Salvador, and it was playing against El Salvador or in Antigua. But for
we cheer goals. We don't normally cheer anything else.
Yeah, for Bajans to get so involved, it was that was a great.
It was about 20 Olays and then a goal.
Yeah, and then a goal. Cold bumps, man.
Yeah, it was really nice. So how do you manage then the pressure? You mentioned the pressure in terms of squad.
Correct.
The pressure from the general public, who will expect that regardless of who we are playing, Barbados should go there and win.
Home games are always the hardest, to be quite honest.
Okay.
For me, it's easier playing away than playing home. But the pressure is real, and Bajans regardless, we could be playing Mexico. We just want Barbados to win, and I'm not vested for that. So the pressure is there for you to thrive on, for you to perform, for you to give them what they want.
Well, Ronaldo, you're part of you're chairman of the youth committee, in fact. Mm-hmm. Is this something we also look at that level, teaching players how to manage the expectations?
To be honest, straight off the top, no. It's not something that I honestly have heard, especially within the club system, teaching players how to manage it from a very young age. It is an interesting concept because many of the times the coaches don't convey what the expectations are or the objectives are. Mm. You know, they just treat them based on the behaviors that occur at the time, which necessarily isn't the right thing to do. You know, if you give players, and this is from experience, if you give players clear objectives, which I do, and the players in Wales could attest to this because it's something that some of them said is new. If you give clear, reachable objectives, mm-hmm. you know, I try to utilize the SMART acronym, which is, you know, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. They actually grasp towards it because it's something that they could, it's based on facts, and it's something that they could reach, something they could see. So if within the young players' context, maybe if you put realistic objectives out there that you know are reachable and you place a time frame on them, believe it or not, young players will they will be self-motivated, one, but they will find a way that you may not even think of as adult to reach these objectives. So maybe, and I put my youth coach hat on, we identify the objectives very early, we go through them collectively and individually, and then maybe when they get to Rashad and the others level at the senior team, it becomes a little bit easier to manage. Because sometimes when you go there and you hear for the first time, or these are the expectations, you'd be like, oh shoot, like I never had the experience or had the training to deal with such. You could almost go into a panic attack if you're not mentally strong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if we deal with it from the youth level, as you, I would say, secretly suggested, it is something that would therefore prepare the players for the senior team. And I think that's what we're all doing at the youth level, realistically. I mean, believe it or not, even though some coaches may see winning as the bigger, big picture, I think the bigger picture is creating a cadre of young players who could then represent the country at the international level. I think that's what we're really doing at the youth level.
Okay, we have two messages coming in. One, confirming no games on Tuesday and Thursday. Updated fixtures to be released tomorrow. That's from the boss. And of course, I can tell you not which games, but definitely games this Saturday and Sunday at the Goldie Turf. 3 games per night. And of course, live coverage on Hot 95.3 FM. Also, someone weighing in on the upcoming season. I have a top 3 prediction, believe it or not.
Already?
A top 3 prediction, believe it or not.
What's this based on?
Sentiment. Oh. Sentiment, I would guess.
Okay.
BDF to win it again. Bills and Paradise. I guess, though, if you follow the football, an educated guess would lead you to a top 3 or 4, but we encourage fans to keep sharing their thoughts. 18sports246@gmail.com or 4341790. You mentioned the youth development program, and I've been following football in Barbados forever. Mm. We've always had academies, but I don't think we've ever had this number of boys and girls playing football at such a young age.
It's
academies have under 17s straight up to U17,
yep,
practicing week in, week out. You have 2 schools competitions now.
Yep.
BFA has competitions as well.
And we have 2 next play competitions.
You also have the youth program.
Yeah.
So you identify a player that could be under 11.
Yeah.
And he's in a national setup until seniors. I mean, when he's 25, compare him to a player 20 years ago at age 25.
Yeah.
That has to be a better rounded player.
Oh. Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, as long as they're getting the suitable and adequate training, you know, and education, I think that's the key component. Usually when people in the football arena hear education, they think academics, but realistically all it is that we're sharpening and giving you new tools for the football spectrum, you know. I believe once players are given these tools from a very young age and given this information from U12 or so, and then that is being fed, you know, throughout till they get U17. But realistically, by U17, you should already identify
your game.
Yeah, and those said players who you could start, you know, shoving and pushing within the senior age group or even under 23 age group. So I think it is a forward step with the FA, along with the academies and other clubs. They just got to hold each other's hand and don't really realistically say, as, oh, that's the BFA job or that's the club's job. We all got to raise footballers together. Yeah. Schools, clubs, the FA, everyone, even the community, everyone who has any kind of involvement with a youth football player or the football player, you got to work homogeneously to basically get the best for Barbados football.
Yeah, and my one wish has always been, I mean, full support of the clubs who have their own youth programs. But I think we, for too long, produced too many players coming through academies who do not make the step then to national duty. We have hundreds, well, not literally hundreds, but hundreds of players in academies. And aside from perhaps UE Paradise on occasions, we don't see a lot of them. When we had Soccer Academy in last season, we saw a few more. But we are not seeing, for me, enough of those players who are out there in the academy setup, who benefit from tours, who benefit from specialist coaching, which may not be provided at the grassroots level for the club teams, for the obvious reasons.
Right.
Financial reasons are paramount sometimes for clubs. You have unpaid coaches who might call practice on a Saturday morning, people are at work. That is the reality of football still in Barbados. So then we can get them in younger. For me, we need to see more of those players coming on to the nationals.
Well, I'd like to add Rashad to this discussion because he is the product of an academy. Howie originally knew Rashad from when he was at Kickstart. Funny enough, they also have Raheem, who was also at Kickstart, and Ricardo Mara. So I'll let him give his sentiments regarding this matter.
I wasn't at Kickstart too long, to be quite honest, but Kickstart also got me some opportunities over in Chicago.
Okay.
Yes, I stayed with my travels to Chicago, to Chicago Magic on two occasions. So that experience too helped me a lot in terms of experience, playing abroad, being away from family. So a lot of those things now come natural for me.
Okay. So, once again, reminding you, of course, football kicks off again this Saturday and Sunday at the BFA Turf. Games kick off at 5 on Saturday and at 4 on Sunday. We had a message earlier, I forgot this one, for you, Rashad. How do you get involved in the BDS sports program? Let's say you're an aspiring footballer out there. How are you recruited to become a part of the BDS sports program?
You could apply. You have to apply. Letter to the chief of staff, Barbados Fans Force. You'll be then probably interviewed, vetted, you know, from the public or whatever. So this is the first step. And then once you pass all of those, then you are given a chance to recruit.
So there are academic criteria you must meet as well?
Not necessarily, but it would be better for you.
Okay.
And the BDF also, you know, encourages us to go out there and get certificates, get trades. So
yeah.
Even if you come in with nothing, you can still leave it something.
And preferably not be involved in nonsense.
Of course.
Or at least stop.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. As we move forward. Of course, I know you want to talk about international football. The phone is still going in my pocket.
Yeah.
The lone Liverpool fan.
I'm sure Ronnie's away.
In the studio. It's been very quiet.
And he's drinking his tea.
Coffee.
Coffee, he says. But the reality is, as we take a short segue, Liverpool 22, 23 points ahead. Historic lead in the Premiership. I often say, okay, it doesn't really count until after Christmas. But by Christmas, it was looking pretty sure that Liverpool were the team to beat. Manchester City are not in form this season. They have defensive issues. Pep Guardiola is not a happy man. They have not recruited well. And Liverpool, for all the Liverpool fans, good evening to Gregory Lalu Goodrich.
Yeah.
Seem now to be about to do what they have really wanted to do for decades now, to win another Premier League title. Perhaps you can bring Ronnie in. Champions League, losing finalists in 2018, winners in 2019. Premier League wrapped up for all intents and purposes now. Is this another golden age of the Liverpool Football Club?
I think that the way football is playing now, it's going to be hard to dominate the English scene the way Liverpool did in the 70s and 80s and United did in the 90s and noughties. It's really maybe a spell of 3 to 5 years as opposed to domination for 10 to 15. Pretty much like how Test cricket is, where West Indies dominated for so long and then Australia almost as long.
Yeah.
But the way Liverpool are set up, Klopp came in and said 4 years, 4 full seasons. And he's done exactly what he said he would do. He inherited a lot of dross in that squad. I mean, we had Moreno, and he treated them well. Yeah. You know, we had Moreno. I remember when Robertson came, Robertson had to wait, and then Moreno got injured and never got back in the team because Robertson was playing some fantastic football. And Klopp has definitely managed each player with a clear vision as to where he wants that player to improve and how they're going to fit into what he's doing. Everybody's talking about this person coming to Liverpool, that person coming to Liverpool. But if you don't have the work ethic that Klopp needs and the desire to get back and defend if you're a striker or create if you are a defender. I mean, look at the assists put together between Robertson and Alexander Arnold. Better than many of the midfield pairings that they have in there that's supposed to be creative in the Premiership. So I'd just like to tell the Real Madrid fan that I met early this morning at his at his place of employ, he needs to stop being so bitter. So bitter. Liverpool, Liverpool's the best team in the world right now, hands down, without question. Any football fan would admit that. Doesn't mean Real Madrid isn't a great club or Barcelona isn't a great club, but I'd like to remind that chap that we gave Madrid a four-love at Anfield before we gave Barcelona a four-love at Anfield. And I don't know if he was born before 1981, but Liverpool actually beat Real Madrid in the European Cup final first. And if you don't believe me, go and check it for yourself. Alan Kennedy, 9 minutes left, marauding left back, Parc des Princes Stadium in France. Liverpool's badge for Umbro was covered because you couldn't have commercial sponsorship. So if you're going to argue with me about that, just come from a position of knowledge. And I would like to say that Manchester United have a long way to go. And I personally don't think Solskjaer is the manager for them. I was shocked that they didn't get Ancelotti. Ancelotti is a very good friend of Alex Ferguson. And it's good for Everton because Everton's season has transformed.
I have told people if Ancelotti gets financial backing, he's going to be a handful. He's a very, very good coach.
Newcastle potentially being taken over by a Saudi Arabian concern. Benitez might be back, but this time he'll be back with money.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to worry about Dwight Gayle and those kind of players that mash up the championship defences but struggle. The only time Gayle did anything brilliant was for Crystal Palace when he scored twice when we drew 3-3 that year.
Yeah,
but so I think the season is good. Manchester City, class team. For me, De Bruyne could arguably be. I say arguably given the level that Liverpool players have played at, especially Henderson. But I think on form, I think De Bruyne is the best player in the Premiership. I love to see him play. I understand he was a Liverpool fan as a youngster too. I would love for Klopp to have that dilemma. Where do I put who do I drop for De Bruyne?
Someone.
Because he would have to start.
Someone,
he would have to start.
It definitely wouldn't be Henderson because he values Henderson. I mean, invaluably. The way he heard Klopp, he said he can't pick the team without him.
It's true. Yeah. And one of the things is that Henderson came under Dalglish at the start of the 10s. And he was very much in Gerrard's shadow. Gerrard is Gerrard. Yeah. But like I tell people, when it comes to work in a place of employ, if you're in a particular field, you come in as a minnow. Gerrard came in as a minnow. Gerrard never always wore number 8. He wore some high number, and anywhere he could play, he would play. He didn't insist that he could only play in this particular spot in the team. He played wherever he could. Same thing with Carragher. But if you play well and train well and develop and do the right things, and you have that gift and that talent, you will become the main man. And Henderson is now the main man. He's improved tremendously. And contrary to what Alex Ferguson said, I think he said something about Gerrard not being a great player. And something about he didn't like Jordan Henderson's gait, which is the way he walks and the way he moves. Well, I love it. And I think that Henderson is going forward with freedom now because of who he has behind him. Because for much of his Liverpool career, he was passing sideways or backwards. There used to be a running joke that if Jordan Henderson got paid by check, he'd never get to the teller because he's either going sideways or backwards.
Now, the same was said about the gait of Raheem Sterling. He looks uncomfortable moving, but he's turning into a goal machine.
I will tell you that Michael Johnson looked weird running, but I don't think anybody could beat him on his
but
day.
But if you remember...
This is very important. Ronnie, the manager of Man United, is at the front desk to speak with you.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. He'll be very far away from me for a very long time, as he is in the table right now.
If you remember as well, David Beckham looked clumsy running with the ball. People don't remember, but if you remember Zidane, you couldn't get the ball from him, but he didn't look comfortable with the ball. He looked like a big, tall, clumsy-looking central defender, but you couldn't get the ball.
Yeah, but his skill with the ball at his feet, I have to put Zidane as one of the best technical players we've ever seen.
He just couldn't get the ball off.
Yeah. You know? So I see it that Chelsea have done better than people expected because they had the ban in the transfer window.
Yeah.
People like Mount and Abraham have come through, and the defender who had the England debut. And then you've got Arsenal. Look, every time, nobody wants that fourth spot. Every time Chelsea make a mess, either United get the same result, Arsenal get the same result. But I've said from the time that Mourinho went to Tottenham that Tottenham will most likely get that fourth spot. I think Leicester are too far. Leicester would need a catastrophic run in the final 12 or 11, 13 matches of the season
Need to be out for a while. But Brendan Rodgers is too good a manager, I believe, to be 9 points ahead at this stage.
Well, don't say that. He was 5 points ahead with 3 matches left and we lost.
Gerrard slipped.
No, we lost. We lost badly. But I think that it's an exciting time for English football. If you look at it, all the teams are still in the Champions League, still in the Europa League as well. So in as much as Madrid are there and Atletico are there and Barcelona are there, I fully expect Liverpool to get to the final and to that Real Madrid final. It's just so bitter this morning. We will take out Atleti. I'm pretty sure of that there.
Got a message moments ago about the Inter Milan team where Conte...
You mean Manchester United's B team?
Yeah. Where Conte is sweeping up everyone that has played in the Premiership.
Yeah.
I think he's gone for too many stars. I don't see it coming together this season.
He took both Moses and Young. That was shocking because they're two similar players.
And the problem he has, if it doesn't work this season, some of them are at the back end of their careers.
Well, he got Lukaku and he got Sanchez. And I saw a quote from Solskjaer saying that Sanchez will be back.
And better.
Nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't make any sense. If you were Sanchez, would you want to come back to Manchester United?
Well, I think that's a issue now for the agent. If you can negotiate something between the two clubs to get Milan to pay a suitable fee, I think Mayu wouldn't mind getting him off the books because he's quite an expensive player to maintain. However, if the player's going to return and he's going to be unhappy, does it make sense to really pay him to ride the bench?
That said, Juventus. Be careful with Juventus. I know you're a fan.
Yeah.
Never come to Juventus. They have the pedigree. They have Ronaldo. No, settled. He's gone back into his goal scoring routine. And he has a point to prove.
Count out Juventus from what? Champions League?
Yeah.
Not from necessarily winning it, but advancing at least to the last four.
You have to respect any team that Ronaldo is in and any team that Messi's in. Because they're just that brilliant. And they have carried those. They've carried their teams.
They can
of course, Messi has carried one team. And Ronaldo really has gone on from a young age to every team he's played for.
He's won.
Lisbon before he went to United. Yeah. Then United, then Real Madrid, and now Juventus. Mm-hmm. He could have been playing in China for about $50 million a week.
And crucially,
but he didn't want to.
Portugal as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which for me is the only thing that separates the two.
Yeah, he's won Euro.
Messi has not been able to transfer that brilliance as well with the Argentina.
But look at what happened with Portugal. Ronaldo was injured early in that final.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team had to step up and play.
But he coached the team in the end.
The Argentinian team that made the World Cup final, they were terrible.
Yeah.
That's not Messi's fault.
Sure.
But they were really terrible in that final.
I find to Argentina, you're digressing a bit, but I think Argentina shoot themselves in the foot in team selection. We had Maradona going to the World Cup one time with like 8 strikers and 4 attacking midfielders.
Well, there was a year they didn't take Riquelme.
Yeah.
And at that time, Riquelme was the basis of, you know, apart from Messi, Argentinian football. Yeah.
I have another prediction. Was to read this one earlier, and someone believes Everton will be one of the better teams in the Premiership. I think so. I like Everton's football. Mm. I would love them not to give up. Speaking as a neutral, I would love them not to give up that early goal, but I like to watch Everton playing football. I think... Everton, Paradise, Wales.
So you have our own top four in Barbados, huh?
I would think if you look at it realistically and objectively, Wales, BDF, Everton, Paradise, UE.
I would like to say the comment that was made earlier about the average age of the teams. I mean, it just seems as though the teams are getting younger every year.
Yep.
Because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you weren't really in your mid-20s, unless you were an exceptional young player, You know, in my time, it would have been people like Roald Asgill and Dale Rudder. You know, just break. You just could not stop those guys from making it, and Wayne from Indy Pine.
Yeah, Will O'Neill.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and there was a fella called, I think, Wayne Morris. He used to play for Gore Hill, mm-hmm. and he played for Foundation School. So, unless you were the exception to the rule, you were holding bench, or you're holding B team, mm-hmm. second division, because everybody had a different squad. Mm-hmm. But now the players are so young
and so skillful,
and it, you know, I'm happy to see that they are playing school football as well as top flight football. Because for a time there were people that were discouraging youngsters. But I know back in the day, if you could play football 5 days a week, you'd play out a season two and three tournaments a week, sometimes playing two on the same day. So the youth clearly hold sway. And in the same way tennis is, like Coco Gauff was 15 and it's just getting younger. If you are in your late 20s and you're still playing top flight football in Barbados, you got a lot to be thankful for.
Yep.
Right? Because the attitude is changing with the youngsters now. The way you've got the club set up, professional soccer schools for the last, 20 years, it really means that they have their head on and their focus. And I think Barbados has the potential to do well if we can keep this crop of players together. I think if you look at the 70s, I saw on my coach's WhatsApp the squad from 75. That had Gas Clark, and I mean, we're talking legends here. A squad that would have taken on Haiti's World Cup team and had a favorable result. People forget there was a time when Barbados used to beat Jamaica every time. We hardly ever used to get beat or even play Grenada, St. Kitts and Antigua, and what were at that time nations far behind what we were doing. So I think the key thing is keeping a cadre of players together for 10 to 15 years. Look, you look back on your life, if you're in your 40s, or you're heading for 50, 20 years goes real quick if you're still alive.
Yep.
So if you've got the vision of having those 10 players together, because that's how Liverpool did it, that's how Manchester United have done it, that's how most teams that are successful have been able to do it. Look at Barcelona, end of story.
Which is why I'm keen on the BFA's Youth Development Programme in particular, the Future Tridents Programme, where you can have young men in a structured programme from early and moving forward. Also brings to mind what Asquith Howell has done at BDS Sports Program. I always comment about that. Mm. You have new players coming in religiously. You always have to make room for new recruits. Mm. And season in, season out, BDS Sports Program will challenge for the title. Mm. You see a guy come in at the start of the season, whether it's February, whether it's September, as we had last season. Mm. And he looks okay, but he's not the technically most sound player. Mm. You look at that guy 6 months later, not even a full calendar year, is a different player altogether.
I know, we ain't right there, because one player who stands up for me in particular is Mario Williams, aka Bagger. When he first went in the BDS program, I remember this long, lanky kid, didn't seem coordinated at all, and like what he transformed into within a year or two. I remember particularly he used to play in the midfield right next to Tremaine Cobham, and I was like, this is a total different player. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that there are other key ones, but he stands out for me.
As well.
Yeah, and funny enough, Hill went in there as an attacker, because I remember when that year it was supposed to be Hill, Omani, and Fatty here in Holligan. Yeah. They were all supposed to go in BDF at that time. I'm not sure what transpired with the Fatty scenario, but they all came from Notre Dame that year.
I remember.
And that was the one who motivated Hill. Because, you know, Hill had it on the back of him, and he's going to go in there, and they can treat him this way and that way. It was like, go and experience it yourself. Don't go by hearsay. Go and experience it yourself.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can speak about that. Mm-hmm. He came in as a player. You can see the talent. And it was like, if he could only focus, he could be brilliant. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing it now. He's a national fixture. And scored the first goal last night. Another one of these players that can do just about everything mm-hmm. on the field. He can bring it out the back. He can defend solidly. He's one of the better tacklers in the game. He will get himself booked every now and again. But he's become one of the most sought after players and admired players in the Premier League.
Yes.
He's really going on pretty well. We also had a message about what? I forgot the club. Someone was hoping that the rivalries would come back. You have Watton and Gore Hill.
Yeah, Christchurch there.
Watton, Gore Hill, Paradise, Silver Sands.
Yes.
Four teams drawing on the same players from the same area.
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember running back in the day, Paradise versus Gore Hill. Nobody's at home.
That's right.
Everybody's at stake.
You can't get a Silver Hill van on a Sunday night.
Yeah. There was a famous jingle by Lil Rick about Party Ice.
Oh, yeah.
Someone is something to do with the Qualitonic Notre Dame and Paradise.
Yeah, yeah,
it was hilarious. Dwight Gill was playing back then. His son, Dwayne Gill.
Uh-huh.
Is he still in Hungary?
Terry, yeah. He actually scored a hat trick over the weekend.
Okay.
So he is doing quite well. I speak to his dad often, so congratulations officially to Thierry. Again, he played in the Premier League at 15 years old.
Yeah, I looked like he belonged.
So.
And his dad was a goal machine.
Yeah. He was ridiculous.
In a very good, an excellent Paradise team.
Even with good defenders, the Gall Hill back line, the Gall Hill keepers, he still stood out as a prolific striker. I think we were spoiled for talent back then. You really were.
Yeah, because you had him, Peter Stout, Jerry Alexander, Llewellyn Riley, Ryan Lucas.
Lalu Goodrich.
Yeah, Otis Oliver. You had players that just used to bang goals in for fun.
Eric Levine, Chung Grant, Bounty.
A bit later on.
Big team.
Lalu Goodrich, following Lalu Goodrich, Norman Ford and company.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But the team is running in the background. This has been Penalty Spot, the first edition for 2020. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being a part of the program. Of course, come on out to football this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We kick off on Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 4. And live coverage from 7 on Saturday on Hot 95.3 FM. Live coverage from 6 on Sunday. Good night.